We're in John 13, and let's begin reading verse 35, 36, and 30. We're reading 35 to 38. John 13, beginning at 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. All right, verse 35. We stopped there last time, you remember. What is the thing that people would know us by in this verse? Talking to his disciples, love for one another. When we have a fight with one another and don't have love with another, what does the world think about that? No different than anybody else. Still got arguments, but the difference is, how do we end up that argument? All right? Now, what does it take to love one another? Does that mean we always agree with one another? No. But when we disagree with one another, then what? Can you still have love with one another even though we disagree on certain minor issues? Yes, we can still love. Even, I suppose, if they differ on major issues, you can love one another. You don't have to agree with a lot of different things, but you can still love them as Christians if they're saved and born again. Who is he talking to here in verse 35? Lord Jesus. Simon Peter only, is it? Yeah, in verse 36 he is, that's right. But here, in 35... Yeah, disciples all the time. Peter was one of them, pardon me, except Judas. Where had Judas gone? Remember, yes, Anna? Chief priest, why did he go there? Anna?
To betray Jesus, okay.
Did he get any money for her?
Yes.
How many money pieces?
Silver.
30 pieces of silver. All right, he's got a little money for it. So Judas wasn't there, so the 11 disciples were there, and he said that they'll know you if you have love one to another. All right, so that's important, isn't it? We stopped there last week. Then in verse 36, who asked this question? Why do you think he asked?
Simon Peter.
Why do you think he asked this question?
Because the devil was in him.
The devil was in Simon Peter? Was the devil in Simon Peter?
No.
No. The devil influenced Simon Peter in certain areas, and we see that in Luke chapter 22. Satan has desired to have thee, they may sift you as wheat, but I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's in. So Simon Peter did have some influence, but why do you suppose Simon asked this question? Was it a good question or a bad question? What is the definition of a good question? All right. What's the definition of a bad question?
Doesn't pertain.
Often you've heard people say, the only bad question is the question that's unasked. You know, in other words, if someone has a question, well, that should be asked. You know, so he did ask the question. What was his question? Where are you going? See, where the goest thou? What does Jesus answer? Did he give him a direct answer?
No.
He was vague in his answer. Why do you suppose he was vague? Do you always have to answer directly when people ask you a question? There's some questions you can't answer yes or no because you get into trouble. Am I right? Have you stopped beating your wife? Yes, I've stopped beating her. No, I haven't stopped beating her. Either way you say, you're in trouble. You're either still beating her or used to beat her, now you stopped. See, there's certain questions that are trick questions. You can't answer yes or no. Yeah, Miss Ray.
What are those kind of questions they always told you when you talk? Who
are you supposed to ask a third time?
Rhetorical questions. Loaded questions. There's
another question. Oh, loaded questions?
Loaded. No.
Oh, oh. Yeah. What's that there, Ricky?
Do you believe humans are still evolving?
Do I believe humans are still evolving? Not in the sense of they defined evolution. No, I do not. I
don't
believe. Well, that's a good question because you say yes, they're still. No, they're not. See, you're right. That's a good question. That's a bad question. See, we say yes, it's not still evolving. That means they used to evolve. You say no, they're not. They're still evolving. That's a good question. Yeah, Bonnie?
It's a certain kind of question. Your people don't say you're supposed to ask a certain kind of question.
The question that would lead to a response that was not simply yes or no, but I can't.
Open-ended question?
Open-ended question, maybe. There's another. I can't think of
another
question.
Another question that school teachers.
School teachers are supposed to have a yes question. Anybody, school teacher, that understand that at all? Charles is a school teacher, but he's helping George do things, I guess, out there. But cognitive questions, was it? Cognitive questions?
All the time
is this a certain kind of thought question that you have to answer in a larger way? But this question did not answer straight. What do you think he meant by this in verse 36? What was his answer? Whither goest thou? Where are you going? You can't go ever?
Not
but afterwards. How did the Lord Jesus, where did the Lord Jesus go shortly thereafter? In chapter 17, 18, 19, along there. Anna? Yes, but before he went to heaven, where did he go?
To the grave.
Yes, before he went to the grave, where did he go? That's right. To the cross. Before he went to the cross, where did he go?
Before Pontius Pilate.
Before Pontius Pilate and the judgment hall. That's right. So you see, all these things were true. Am I right? Did Peter go to the judgment hall? Yes. Remember, Peter and John, the only two. John knew the high priest, and so they let Peter in, and Peter was there. Did Peter stay all the time in the judgment hall?
No.
No? Why not?
Went outside.
Why did he go out?
Somebody recognized him.
And what did they ask him anything at that point?
They asked him when he was from, his hands over the fire.
Okay. Did they make any statements about him at that time?
They accused him of being with Jesus. Or being,
yes. Have you been with Jesus? Are you one of his disciples? And Peter affirmed that, did he?
No, he denied.
How many times? Three times. So Peter went to the judgment hall with the Lord Jesus. And then what about the cross? He wasn't at Calvary, was he? Only John was the only disciple at the cross. But later on, we'll see later in John, he says, "You, other man will take you and take you where you don't want to go. Another man will clothe thee." In this, he signified the means of the way he would die. Remember that in the last part of John's gospel? We'll see that later in that. And he was speaking, I think, of being crucified. And tradition has it, at least, that he was crucified. He said, "I want to be crucified upside down, not the same way my Lord was." So in that sense, he followed him. And then the final destination was where? He followed him to the judgment hall. He followed him to the cross. If tradition is right, he was crucified later. He died, but not certainly for the sins of the world. Then where did he go? Peter, as well as Lord Jesus. The view of the Lord went to heaven. Now, is the Roman Catholic teaching correct or incorrect that says Peter has the keys to heaven and he's had the keys at the gate?
You see?
Not true. And there are all kinds of stories and jokes and all when people go to heaven and Peter opens the gate and you'd be admitted to. But he doesn't have anything to do with that. He's just one of the boys, you might say. Just one of everybody.
He's supposedly a first pope of the Roman Catholic Church.
Can popes marry?
No, but he was married.
Yeah, how do we know that? That's true. How do we know that?
Through the scriptures.
It says Peter's wife's mother. So if Peter's wife's mother, Peter's wife did not only have a mother, but Peter had a wife, to have a wife's mother, right? Yes, Jill, you got it.
Didn't he, after he was, Jesus was crucified, I mean, I know he went to heaven, and so did Peter, but obviously after he was crucified, there was that time where he had gone to hell for 3 days and three nights. He took upon all man's sins and went to hell for 3 days and three nights.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Well, he took the sins of the world at the cross.
Yeah, he went to hell.
Then he went to the lower parts of the earth, and apparently that was in the Hades, the paradise section, mm-hmm. and led captivity captive, and he gave this in the men. I believe at that time he emptied the paradise section of Sheol, Old Testament, Hades, New Testament, a paradise section and the section of the damned, the unbelievers. And he apparently went to Hades, which is translated in our King James hell. So the Apostles' Creed, Hades, which is Hades and hell. And emptied the righteous dead and took them to heaven after the cross. That's true. He did.
So the righteous dead?
Yes.
Righteous dead.
In the Old Testament, like Abraham, Isaac, those that believe. If you want to say hell, they were in Hades or in Sheol or the place of departed spirits in the Old Testament.
He had to go down there in order to save them. He had empty.
To deliver them and take them
out.
Yes, Tammy.
Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19.
Uh-huh.
And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, those are the verses you were discussing.
Yes, as far as the keys of the kingdom and all.
Right, and yeah. The Catholic Church would say rock, and they would refer to Peter, but Peter is actually pebble, whereas rock would be the truth of
like the big cliff, the big mountain cliff.
Jesus Christ, the foundation.
That's why they build that, isn't it? They build that on the 16.
But how would verse 19? Is that just generally the apostles? They have the ministry of going out and telling people of the gospel. Is that what the keys of the kingdom will refer to?
Well, I believe in the book of Acts, Peter did use the keys to open up the gospel of the Gentile world. See, I think that's one of the keys he did. Remember, the sheet was let down, and there's unclean things rise, Peter, kill and eat. He just said, I've never eaten any unclean. It's sure it's all right now to go to the Gentiles and preach unto them the gospel. So some have said that would be one of the keys of the kingdom. And in that last part of that, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And that is the verse that is, I think, misinterpreted by the Church of Rome, by the Roman Catholic priests. And they say the priests can absolve sin. The proper understanding of that is, if they have trusted Christ as Savior and have been cleansed from sin, then they are loosed. And if it's bound, if they have not confessed Christ and have received Him and have been forgiven by Christ, then they will be bound in heaven. See, and that's the understanding that we have of that passage. Not that the priest has power, or even Peter has power.
Does that somewhat relate to how they were to respond if people didn't receive the gospel, as far as brushing the dirt off their shoes?
Probably.
Turning away from...
Their own choice of rejecting the disciples were to be rejecting Christ. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that doesn't receive me doesn't receive... everything all right, Charles?
James took him home.
Oh, James took him home. Well, that's nice.
Oh.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. So, this is important as far as Peter. He was not the first pope. He did have a wife. He was not anybody that can keep people out of heaven or bring them into heaven. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that is the Savior. Yes, Anna?
I think I'm going to ask Mr. Charles a question.
You want to ask Mr. Charles a question?
Was someone going to...
How about school questions?
Oh, yes, ask the school question. What kind of questions are teachers supposed to ask so that it's a real good high-level question? You know, is it a cognitive question?
Analytical question.
High-level question. Is that what it is? But there's a name for it?
I'm not sure. That's probably our name for it.
Yeah.
I would say it's one that you have to think about.
Yeah, thought question.
Okay, thought questions. But then you also want to ask some that someone who does not have a high thinking level can answer also. It's a black and white type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I work with my students, I try to get them to think, do some problem solving, and then I'll talk them through the problem. I don't necessarily come right out and give them the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get them to, and a lot of times, like this past week, it took maybe almost 5-10 minutes for one group to solve a particular problem.
Mm-hmm.
When they got it, I mean, it's like a light bulb went off, mm-hmm. and they were ready to get a solution.
So high-level questions, thought-provoking questions.
Right, thought-provoking. Right.
Those are
not the point where somebody can't get an answer to it.
Right. Before you came in, we talked about these questions that you can't answer yes or no because you get in trouble. Ricky had one. Have we stopped evolving? Yes, we've stopped evolving. That means you believe in evolution. No, we haven't stopped evolving. We still are evolving and believe in evolution. So that's where, my question was, have you stopped beating your wife? You say, yes, I have.
Right.
No, I haven't. You know, either way, you're in trouble. So you better not ask her.
This is probably more of a cognitive type thing.
Analytical, cognitive.
Cognitive is more, I think, philosophical.
Philosophical, yeah. All right. So Peter did go.
A rhetorical
question. Yes, I didn't know what that was. What you meant? What is a rhetorical question?
One that you know the answer. The person knows the answer to.
Okay.
One that doesn't require an answer.
Yeah, that's true. In other words, if somebody asks a rhetorical question, see, can we ever get to the end of ourselves? See. Well, that doesn't mean that the preacher wants the whole congregation to say no or yes or whatever. It's just at some point a rhetorical question that doesn't really require an answer, but you think of it in your mind, see. That was a good example, but anyway. But Peter said, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Now, two things. What are the two things he would follow him specifically, the highlight things? Heaven is the final thing, but what's the next preceding that? The death and possibly the type of death. Now, since we're not clear on that, I'm not clear on the exact wording of it. I know what I'm talking about. If you look in the last chapter of John, and if you look in chapter 21 and verse 23, if I will, thou tarry till I come, verse 22. 21, 22. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went the saying abroad among his disciples, that the disciples shall not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? But there's one before that. Oh, here, verse 18, that's it. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. That's the crucifixion of Peter. See, this is foretold by the Lord Jesus. And another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This speaking by what death he should glorify God. That stretching forth the hands would imply the cross. He would be crucified just like his masters. And tradition then comes in and says he was crucified, all right, but upside down, or whether that's true or not, I don't know. But this is where we get that crucifixion of Peter. All right? So he would be, thou shalt follow me hereafter. Maybe crucifixion, but certainly heaven. If not crucifixion, certainly heaven. He would go to be where he was. And then verse 22, what did the other disciples have to say about that? Were they clear as to the Lord's answer? John 13. Verse 21, verse 36, and now I'm verse 22 instead of 37. In verse 37, Peter wondered something about this following, didn't he? Why can't I follow you now? And then what was his boast? And was this a proper boast?
Lay down his
life. Have you ever boasted something that you didn't fulfill? That's a rhetorical question. If anyone wants to fess up, many of us make things, not that we intend not to fulfill what we say, but sometimes we say things that just does not come to pass. And that's a serious thing, isn't it? If you promise someone something, you should fulfill what you promise. That's the thing. If you're an honest person and a man of your woman of your word, did he lay down his life for Christ's sake? Yes, later on he did. He was martyred. We believe he was martyred. But did he at this time?
No.
No, see? And that's what he had in mind, wasn't it? And in fact, on the other gospel said this, so said they all. Mm-hmm. Something to that effect. See, so said they all. They would never forsake him, never leave him. And Peter said, I'll never leave thee. See, they'll all forsake thee. Another gospel says, I'll never leave thee. Yes, Charles.
The second time in this book that was pretty much said, because at the raising of Lazarus, they pretty much said the same thing, because they knew they were coming back.
That's right. They would die with him. That's right. And so here's a big boast. What does it take to give your life for somebody else?
Sacrifice.
Find their place.
Courage.
Mm-hmm. Love.
Dedication.
Strong motive. Some people, strangers, will rush in and help somebody.
Yes.
I think Peter was still.
What about duty? That's another word, duty. The fireman, the policeman, the diet, September 11th. Yes, Will?
I think Peter was still willing to lay down his life when he cut off Malchus's ear.
Yes, he was.
I think he was still following through then. That took courage.
That took courage. He was fighting. Yeah. Well, what did the Lord say about that?
Get him behind me.
Put thy sword back in the sheath, Peter. That cup which my heavenly Father gave me, shall I not drink it? See, he that taketh the sword shall perish with the sword. See, in other words, but after this all took place, he said, buy two swords if you'd have one, and there's going to fight. In other words, at that time, it wasn't the time to fight, but afterwards, there's the battle. Yes, Albert.
Yeah. I was saying that Christ understood, the Lord understood that Peter wouldn't comprehend what he was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Peter's intentions and his devotion at that time, that might sound like a boast, that's where his heart was.
His heart was there.
But when Christ had to go fulfill and go to the cross, then it became harder to display what he boasted.
Yes. Our heart attitude sometimes is not carried out by our body and our mind and our actions, all right? But maybe we really mean it when you say it. Some people mean that they will love, honor, obey, till death does do part. They seem to mean it when they say it at the altar. But a few weeks, a few months, a few years, I don't want to part with her or with him or whatever. Are some people liars?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Who's the father of lies in John 8:44?
Satan.
He's a liar and the father of it. And So the
distinction closer to home. We're all liars.
He who's never said he has lied or she has lied
is a liar.
That's the biggest one I ever told. If he says he's never lied, she's never lied, I've never lied in my life. That's a big one, isn't it? Yes. Why do people lie? Let's hope that lying is a part of our past. If we're saved, let's hope that lying is not a part of our present. See? Yes, Will?
I was thinking that. Well, now it's off the subject, but
with Malchus, when Jesus healed Malchus's ear, mm-hmm. I wonder in that band of people that were gathered around them, if there were any at that moment that became believers because of that. You don't read anything about that, but that was an amazing miracle.
It was a miracle.
The soldiers saw, everybody
yes.
saw.
They knew. And I think the chief centurion at the end of the, at the yeah. cross, surely this is the Son of God. He may have been one of the ones who was there. Yeah, could be. Getting back to lying, why do people lie? To Charles.
I think pride.
Pride.
Because they had an image to right. hold and they don't want something otherwise.
Yes, John?
To get out of trouble.
All right. When you, Hannah?
You might lie because someone, or you might lie because, well, you don't know and you just don't want to say, I don't know.
Because you don't want to admit you don't know, you lie and say, I know this, yes. And sometimes you lie because you lied before, and you've got to lie a second time to get out of the first time, man.
So, cover up.
We'll cover up, yes.
How about those kind lies where you try to help somebody by lying, and out of kindness?
Yes. So you're not going to die. You just have cancer in the last stages, but you're not going to die right now. You'll regain your health. See, that might be one, right? Well. Yes.
I wasn't thinking of that.
You were thinking of what kindness, what kind of lying we...
Well, we'd like to have you over for dinner, but yeah. busy that night.
Yes, well, that could be a kind lie. Yes, John, and then Ricky.
Or a boss telling that guy that you're doing a real good job when the guy really isn't.
Oh, that's another lie. Yeah, Ricky?
What's the girl ask you if she's pretty?
And you can't lie. Absolutely not. Ugly is a mud fence. No, you can't say that. One response to that is no comment.
Get rid of the
press.
That'll
be worse.
That'll be worse.
That's it.
That works.
And
that's
But what is the best way to stay away from any kind of lie? Well, you don't have to. Either don't talk. Or have to lie. That's it. Is there a second best way?
I don't know.
Never do anything that you have to lie about. The life straight on.
So you should rebuke the person that's trying to get something out of you, and maybe they're trying to get you into some gossip with them or crush it or some weird thing, and you might, in order to do that, have to compromise your mind and tell a lie. So you should improve somehow, or tell them what they're doing with the gossiping, or indirect along with the lie, or whatever, to make them feel good and just ruin and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. If we live lives that please the Lord and have nothing, no regrets, then we don't have to lie about anything. Yes. Fine.
One thing I don't understand, a couple instances.
Just one thing?
Well, quite a few things. But in this telling truth, like that one man that has a radio program, I'm always going to use your book. It's the best book I've ever had. I'm always going to use your book.
Shall I name him?
I don't care. And then the other
thing,
somebody will say,
I will use your defend the King James Bible until the Lord returns. All of a sudden, someone from England or Scotland or someone wrote him a letter saying, did you know this book, Defend the King James Bible, has a question answer in here against Dr. Ruckman? And that I don't believe that Ruckman's all here. And then Dr. Myers wrote me a hot letter, and that was, so I don't know, but strange stuff is me. Later on, after he wrote the hot letter against me, how dare you say this, because he's a friend of Peter Ruckman's. So
yeah, right.
After that, about 2-3 months later, he ordered another case of defending the King's Bible. So I don't know whether he is or whether he isn't.
Can you just order?
No, I don't know.
What's his statement? Has he broken his previous statement?
Well, he did slow down his orders for a long time. He didn't order for a while. All of a sudden, apparently people hear about it and they want to see. I don't know.
That's a neat analogy to Peter.
Maybe
because
so.
I said that he would always use your King James
yours. That's the one that I wrote.
The defined King James Bible.
No, this was the defending the King James Bible.
Right, King James Bible. And Peter said, I will never forsake you.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good analogy. But it's interesting that Dex Myers now is carrying our defined King James Bible. He orders them by the case, which is great. He could be an enemy of mine. I mean, he doesn't like me on the one side for the, Rockland situation, but he likes our Bible. Because I stand for the King James, he stands for the King James. Yeah, fine.
Well, the other one is that people come to the church. Well, this is a wonderful church, and I'm going to come here, and this is where we're going to come.
Yeah.
And
furthermore, let's get right down to brass tacks. Now, Tammy had a comment there. I don't want to neglect you, Tammy. Did you have your hand up?
No, you can finish.
Let me just finish this little trip. This is the greatest thing to take the real cake. You know, your pastor calls it your Thursday people. I try to call you Thursday. If you're Sunday people, I try to call you Saturday. Say how things are in case there's prayer requests, whatever. And, you know, some people I call and they say, I'll be there. And Sunday comes, they're not there. I call them next Saturday, I'll be there. Next Sunday, they're not there. Now, I have a tendency to stop calling those people because I don't want to make them liars. You follow me? Because I know that they will promise the world, but then they don't. So I just stop calling. Then when I stop calling, sometimes the people say, you haven't called in a long time, see? All right, so I call the next time, I call, I'll be there, and they're not, so I stop calling again. I'll make it, it's an up and down situation. I don't want to force people to lie. I mean, it's a sticky situation. Now, Tammy, I'm sorry for long illustration.
I was kind of going back to what you said at the very beginning of the Bible study. You said that the verse where Jesus said to Peter that after thou be converted, you know,
yes, strengthen Luke 22,
So wouldn't that mean that he, at this point, he is not saved?
Well, it could be if you were converted in our present time. I think what I mean, after you're converted, in a sense, is changing around your whole attitude in your own heart. See what I mean? In other words, that could be.
Is it possible that you would be saved before the crucifixion?
Well, it's possible it could be a believer in the believing heart and so on and so forth, and be actually saved New Testament style after the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. But you know, he could be like an Old Testament believer or saint like Abraham and something like that. So when I converted, turned around, completely turned around, I think is what it means there. Then strengthen thy brethren. Yes, Will?
How long does it take you to make those calls on Thursday and Sundays?
Thursdays is short because many people have stopped coming to our Thursday Bible study. I'm by my heart pleased, but I can't force anybody, and I appreciate those that do come. Praise the Lord for that. So it doesn't take me long on Thursday. Probably takes me 20 minutes on Thursday. On Saturday night, I would say it probably takes anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, depending on if we visit or... That's right, because... See, I have a list of... Pardon me? No, that's total. That'd be 30 minutes to 45 minutes. I have about 250 families that have come in the last 3 years. I got through my list. I've got about a 10 or 11 page list all printed out. I go through the names and the ones that are, you know, that I think are interested and still interested in coming, I call them. And I skip the others. And so I couldn't call all of them, but I just keep adding and adding and adding. And so that's what I guess the floor. Now, sometimes if people want to visit, that's fine. And we talk, it takes a little longer, but. Yes,
right. I have always thought it took you all evening, hours, to make those calls. I have always felt like that, and I always feel like you can't keep Dr. Wayne long when he calls on Saturday night. He's got
to make
people call.
As more people are active and more people are interested, then I'll have more people that I call. But then, here's the thing, after so long, and people are not coming, not seen, and not interested, then I don't call anymore. In other words, I don't want to bother them. In fact, some of you people that I do call me think I'm bothering them. I hope you don't think that. I try just to call and visit with you and say hello, and now everybody all right, and they're sick. Some people say, I'm sorry, I can't come, I'm going to be away, I'm sorry, I do this and that, and then I'll know exactly what it is, and I can pray for you also. Yes, Anna?
You can't call Pastor
Joa. I can't call him. I could, but he's a long ways away. That's fine. But he called me this week. He called me and said, how's Mrs. Wade? And had 9 new people come be baptized and members of our church. And it was a good call he had. And he thanks us for all the help that we've been given. By the way, we sent $300 to Pastor Keep this week for Pastor Joa's pastors. He's got 16 pastors. $15 for a concordance. Now, he's already got from another church funds to take care of a Bible dictionaries. And then he needed this. They called me up. I said, well, we can help you for that. How much? So 15 times 16 is $264, I think it is. I said, we'll make it even 300 in order to ship them over there. Pastor Joe's a pastor. See, he's ahead of a, you know, about 16 churches that are in a group. Fundamental Bible Living Baptist Churches with King James Bible, just like Pastor Joa. And so Pastor Keith was burdened, you know, since he was over there. These pastors don't have anything to study. There's nothing. And so we helped him for that. So I just wanted to remind you that I should have mentioned earlier. So Pastor Joa did good. So we can't call, but that's what we do. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But don't ever feel like you're taking too much time. You want to talk, let's talk. But I'm just, now some people I can't get because they're away and so on, different things. Sometimes I have to leave an answer in the answering service, which is fine. I just leave a short answer in the answering service. Have I?
When sometimes you mention to people that aren't in our church that you call your people every Saturday night, they're just absolutely amazed. Some of their pastors don't call them at all. Did you want to share that letter from Dr. Smith?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
His wife was one of them. She was asked, she said, what did you say? What did you say? So I called, when I call my people, just casually saying that, like when I tie my shoes.
Well, you know, we're so far out and spread out. Now, if we were just a local organization, it would be conceivable I could visit my people. But for 3 years, they visit me. They're a long ways away. I call. That's my visitation. That's a telephone type of situation. I do visit sometimes, but that's a frequent. But Dr. Smith, Edward Smith, is one of the ones at Emmanuel Baptist Theological Seminary. He wrote us a nice letter. I read it on Thursday, but let me read it again because some of you weren't there. Your decision, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're supporting him $100 a month as a missionary to the Emmanuel Baptist Seminary, the new seminary that started there. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, your desire, decision to support us has come as a tremendous encouragement. Our personal goal has always been to remain in the center of God's will for our lives, and we truly believe your confidence in us, along with your prayers and support, will help us sustain that effort. The Lord has been so good to the two of us. That's Ed and Vicki. Our health ministry here in Connecticut has been such a blessing, especially being involved with the establishment of Emmanuel Baptist Theological Seminary. Our plan was to move here and assist Dr. Thomas Strauss, Dean of the Seminary, for 1 year. However, the Lord's plan was to keep us here for an additional year through 2001-2002 school year. I made a commitment to Dr. Michael Bates, president and founder of the seminary and pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, to work until August 31st. As the seminary's registrar. That really means to work as secretary, assistant to the dean, and anything else that needs to be done. Now, the Lord has given us peace about making our next move. We have had 3 requests to help in church planting, teaching, and church administration. In addition, we are seeking the Lord's guidance to possibly be a blessing for the Bible for Today Baptist Church and its ministries. Now, that's the 4th thing. In other words, he's praying about 3 churches that want him, and if he wants to come our way, see, he works for nothing for 1 year.
What does he mean, come our way?
Help us. Buy a home and settle down. And his wife is a nurse, and she works. And Albert went through and talked with her about that. And that's what he means. In other words, to assist in any way he can. He's a mastermind of computer work and making things. You've seen that catalog of Emmanuel Baptist Church, College and Seminary. He makes all those things. The colored printers, I mean, he just does everything. He's a very efficient young man, he certainly is. We've had 3 requests, so that's what he means. We love Pastor Wade and his wife Yvonne, and we felt very much at home when we visited the church this past November. If we can be of any assistance with the skills the Lord has blessed us with, please do not hesitate to let us know and definitely pray for us. So there's his picture, and we'll put that up somewhere in our picture. So that's what that is. So all that in regard to Peter's question, Lord, I will lay down my life of faith for thee, and all that I'm calling people.
I thought there was going to be something about how you called your people in there.
No, no. My wife just said she's one of the ones, Mrs. Smith, Vicki Smith, that said, she was amazing at calling people. Of course, if we had a huge church, some churches are monstrous, some are not, it would be impossible, next to impossible to do that, but... I'm going
to delegate.
Well, maybe so. But I like to talk to myself. I'm a talker. All right. But the Lord has not seen fit to do that, so we're still able to take care of that.
It's one of the personal touches that a small church that needs a guidehouse has that a large church with a large membership would not be possible.
That's right. It's a personal touch.
One of the
and that's what one of the blessings of the church in the house. It really is. And we ought to pray that God would keep us in that.
So it's the closeness that we
The closeness. You were close here. It's a family.
We ever got a church building, as some people have mentioned at times, that would be lost.
That would be lost. Anna?
About a month ago, you added the Quimbush to the list of families that came.
That's right. We added the Creebles about a month ago, that's true. All right, so let's go back to Peter.
Let's pray about the Smith situation.
Yes.
They really want to go someplace else.
Yes.
And
that the Lord would direct them to His will. That's right. And we don't want to bend their the Lord's will, but wherever the Lord's will, pray for them. That even if He may come here this way, lots of things that we've done in our Bible for Day ministry generally, the Bible for Day Baptist Church ministry, whatever. Yes, sir.
So he's dissatisfied up at Emmanuel?
Not that he's dissatisfied. He's given a year for free service. And the second year, they're giving him a small salary to help and so on. But the first year, see, he's a Navy man, as I am, a naval officer he was, for 30 years. Almost 30 years he retired, so he's got a pension. His wife works. So because of the two things, he can give himself to help. That's his ministry, helping people, helping churches. That's why I felt that we should support him as a helper for $100 a month, which is nothing, but to assist him and to give him, because that's his burden. You and I, if we were to go somewhere without a salary for a year, I mean, without any income, I mean, except his pension and his wife's working. So these are things. He wants to do what the Lord had him to do. And he came here, and I think he was very well impressed with, if you remember when he was here several months ago, I think he was very well impressed with our church and our people. And so who knows?
It was real crowded that Sunday. They sat back here. A lot of people.
There was a lot of people that Sunday. Yeah, today was our attendance was cut 50%. I think last week it was 42, and was it 22? Not exact 50, but roughly. But last year it was 14 in the snowstorm. You got to go with these air
cars?
Okay. The last snowstorm, it was only 22. It was 14, see. So now we're a little bit over the last one. I appreciate all you people that came. Distances. All right.
Can I say one more thing?
One more thing before you ask, Peter.
Yeah. See, Mrs. Smith is a preemie specialist nurse.
Yes.
And she
neonatal.
She wants to continue her education too. And yes. Around here, you know, I keep telling.
There's
you
teaching that. Hospitals, right, Albert? No. And you.
Children's Hospital Philadelphia just opened a branch.
Yeah. Neonatal. So Albert's filled her with all the good things of neonatal. Yeah, so it could be that they're leaning this way. You know.
Have you said anything to them at all?
Oh, yes, I said they'd be very happy if they'd come. Yeah, you know, I mean, we've talked about it. And
that sounds to me like it was a feeler. And
oh, yes.
I'm glad you responded to
it. Oh, yes, we have even before. But John, as far as dissatisfied, that's not the word to use for his ministry. He appreciates the ministry there. He's for Emmanuel Baptist Theological Seminary. He feels he's only had 1 year to start with. He went on an extra year. He just feels it's time for the Lord to move on and help someone else. See, mm-hmm. He's helped them for 2 years. Yeah, Anna?
We have 5 more minutes.
Oh, thank you. 5 more minutes. Okay, honey. Here she's my timer. Let's get back to Peter, please. Jesus answered him with a question, didn't he? I will lay down my life for thy sake. In verse 38, what was the Lord's question?
A rhetorical question.
Rhetorical question. Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Now, what was the next statement? And did this next statement come true?
Yes.
Anna? Yes, it did. What was the next statement?
The cross shall not grow till thou hast denied me thrice, which means 3 times.
That's good. So not denied me till thrice. 3, which means 3 times. That's right. And was that true? 3 times.
Yes.
The little lad said this, the little girl said this, this one said this, are you listening? Yeah, no. And then the cock crowed, and this was actually fulfilled. And did the Lord Jesus know of his denial? Did he know of his denial? Yes.
Right, the one thing is this was for me.
And again,
yes.
What is that attribute? Omniscience. Omniscience. Let's read chapter 14, John 14, 1 to 6 together. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the place we'll start in chapter 14, verse 1. But we still have a few minutes. Why does the chapter 14, verse 1, do you think, follow 13:38. Is there a connection? Can you see a connection here?
Maybe the Peter would be troubled.
All right, Peter, certainly. Wouldn't you be troubled if you told someone you're going to do something and they said no? See, the Lord is supposed to call him a liar, am I right? You'll deny me three times. You're not going to lay down your life. Wouldn't that hurt your feelings if somebody, you said something to somebody and said, no, you're not going to do that? And that could be the connection. He may have a troubled heart. Let not your heart be troubled. All of your hearts. And this is why, notice in the King James, the why means singular or plural. Plural. Always when you have a why. Ye have a letter or plural. And then it begins with a T, that's singular. Thee, thou, thy, thyself. But ye, and now you is the object of a, unto you is given, the object of a preposition or object of a verb. Here, let not your heart, all of your disciples. See, they were all around there, weren't they? What do you suppose they thought when the Lord Jesus said he was going to deny him? You think they thought that Peter, that one of the leading apostles, would deny the Lord? You think so, Laura?
No, I'm just...
No. What do you think?
Who
were the lead three? Anna?
Peter,
Jude, and... Well, not Jude, but Peter, John, and James. Sorry, Peter, James, and John. So Peter was one of the leaders, wasn't he? He was at the time of transfiguration, wasn't he? The mount. Yes, Anna?
But didn't Jude have the money back?
That was Judas, yes. He had the money back. That's right, Judas. He wasn't a real leader as far as the spiritual leader. Any questions now before we close? Because Anna's going to say the tape clicked off any minute now. If you have any comments or questions, we should bring up those. Yes, Anna. Joe.
I have a question. Peter denies Jesus, denies that he knows him and everything. Three times. Before Jim was talking about, we were talking about, is that when Peter was denying him, you get the feeling that he's unsaved?
He certainly didn't act like he was saved.
No, he didn't act like
it. He seemed like it was the flesh, but...
Yeah, I mean, we do sin, even though we're saved.
Yes, we have the sins of the flesh. We have the old flesh. We can sin too, like this.
But is that what you're...
Possibly. Yeah, I don't know that he didn't strengthen his brother, because even his actions after the cross, Peter said, I go fishing. We'll see that in John, the last chapter. I'm going back to fishing. And he took three or four or five others with him. So, but I think Peter meant well, and I think Peter's heart was right, but he just was floundering. He was troubled. That's why I think this, let not your heart be troubled. All of this.